Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 22nd, 2014. If you were tuned in yesterday, you know what's going to happen in just a moment. Lots of good community and conversation. I have Jerry and Carol Cohen in the studio. And I know, Carol, you were just saying, oh, I want to fill in more here. I want to talk a little more about music ministry. And Jerry, you were saying, oh, there's so much more to helping people understand when you grow up Jewish and, you know, you're taught certain things about Jesus and what Christians have done in the name of the church and how there's been so much prejudice and anti-Semitic messages throughout the life. It's hard for a Jewish person to come to know Jesus, and yet how that process started happening in New Mexico and modeled through some loving people. So we're going to just continue our conversation. I mentioned yesterday that how did God put together an Italian Catholic girl growing up and meeting this Jewish man, but 26 years later, I guess it took, and you're in a ministry together. You're reaching out, trying to initiate a messianic ministry locally and reaching out to Jewish people that are searching for God. And yet I know, Carol, you have a heart with your degrees in music and background in music therapy. You're trying to find creative ways to use that to even bring healing and hope or change to people, or however the Lord would use it. But I know you and Jerry have been praying up where the Lord would lead you in the days ahead. And I know even working through this recent healing that God is keeping you around, Jerry, for us and the benefit of those that he will reach as he works in and through you. So where do you want to take off from? You were sharing yesterday a little bit, Jerry, about how you were coming to Christ, how you had met this lovely Carol. Was her Christian walk something that was intriguing or new to you? Because she came to Christ before you did, and she's now following this Jesus. And you had shared yesterday that you're out west, you're seeing these Jewish people worshiping the Lord, praising him, and you're like, Mazeh, what is this?
I know, and I want to back up a little bit, just for a minute. When Carol and I met, I was interested in her, but I had no interest of, you know, dating her. But we went out on a date one night, and we hugged one another. That was the extent of our relationship, was a hug. And we exchanged something so powerful and so unbelievable that I knew at that moment, and she did too, that we were destined to be together.
And let me interject here. Like, yes, I was a believer and did not believe in missionary dating. If you know what that means, like Christian girls, you know, dating non-believing men or vice versa. But something, I was so drawn to Jerry, and I can't explain it except to say that it was a God thing. And the relationship was pure until our wedding night. You know, I'll say that. Not that it wasn't tempting out there. You all know that too. But I purposed in my heart that I would be pure again for my husband, because up to that point, before I was a Christian, I was not. And I can't explain why I felt okay about dating Jerry Cohen, this recently divorced, non-believing man. And here I'm a 27-year-old woman, never married. I don't recommend it, but I can say in our situation, 26 years later with three daughters, that it was the Lord who brought us together. And I didn't go out to convert him. I don't think you convert Jews. I think they complete with the Lord. But I felt after one date, like, oh my goodness, I'm in love with this man. And I didn't know why, because that's not like me to be so quick like that. But obviously the Lord had a plan. And it's funny, like, we were out in the desert, and it was the desert, but there's so much beauty and joy and fruit out there. And go ahead, Mr. Cohen.
And Jerry, I'm going to allow Husbandry 101 to take over. Here's a little shout-out time for you to praise your lovely wife, Carol. Tell me at least two or three things that were captivating or unique or special or that drew you to her right away.
Well, the first thing is she had such great joy. The Lord has gifted her with such great joy and understanding. She has love for those around her. I mean, she's so bubbly in her personality. And you can see it in her heart that she has Jesus bubbling up. And she loves her children. She's a great mother. She wants to serve God. She wants to do what God wants. And any mother out there that is wanting to be the best mother they can is first and foremost to serve their husband and their children and then Jesus, because in that order, you're going to become and do what God wants you to do. Her music gift is beyond the pale. I mean, she is probably one of the best I've ever experienced. She's a psalmist. She plays and sings wonderfully. But the biggest thing is her heart for Jesus is beyond. She loves the Jewish people. She prays for Israel all the time. She has her focus on her children and on me, and she cares for those around, the sick and the downtrodden, those who need help. My wife has a hand for those people. Mm-hmm. She's always lifting her hand out to take the people that are lost and grab them and pull them up.
You say her reaching out and her hands, and I'm thinking many of the Italian families, you know, they talk with their hand, but so do the Jewish families, and I'm thinking there's a lot of passion when I go to Israel. I've been there many times. Jewish families, man, they let it all out. They're passionate. They're very verbal, and they're very hand gestures, but so are the Italians. So I'm sure that when you two get communicating,
you
probably have to stand back from each other, huh?
Oh, we do. And it's like
our poor daughters.
They get in the middle, it's like, Dad, Mom!
Oh, yeah, it's not dull in our household. We play card games quite dodgeballish. Yeah, we're not Greek, but we, you know what? We all know where each other stands. Mm-hmm. And it's about that children thing. I want to mention that me as a mother, you think you want your children to serve the Lord this way, and you have them in this little cubbyhole and this cubbyhole. If you don't see that happening, you go, I failed as a mother. It's like, and I've just cried over that at times thinking, I want to see this, but, you know, the Lord, it keeps reminding me that, hey, they belong to me. I love them more than you ever could. And it's a good lesson for me to step back and trust the Lord and know that He has a plan for them that I can just get in the way if I'm not careful. And, you know, they're musicians, they're dancers, they're theatrical, they're beautiful girls, and I just love them to death. And I know the Lord has a plan for them, and I just need to get out of the way and help train them in the way they should go. But the Lord, He's the one in control, not me.
What is that verse? Is it Philippians? He who began a good work in you will bring it on to completion.
Yes.
And I've seen so many people utilize that because, you know, we do love our kids or, you know, our family members, and it's so hard to entrust them to say, Lord, you began the work, you'll bring it to completion. And it's not always according to our timetable or our framework, but He is faithful, and that's what we can always rest in. And then that those Proverbs about training your child in the ways they
Absolutely.
Should go. And now, we left off yesterday. You were in that congregation. You were watching these Jewish people praising the Lord. You had witnessed some of the changes in Carol and how she was loving the Lord and that bubbly personality and that walk with Jesus. But that was still pretty foreign to you, right, having that personal relationship with God?
It was, and it was a big jump. I was trying to jump across the chasms of years and years, thousands of years, of what Jewish people think about Christians and how they believe, but not understanding that the true faith of Christianity is loving the Jew, accepting the Jew, praying for the Jews, because let's be real, Jesus was Jewish, and if we don't love Jesus, then we're not really following the faith, because God says that the Jews are the apples of His eyes. The thing is that everybody has a call. We're not better than anybody else. It's misunderstood by a lot of people thinking that we think we're better. No, we're just different. And the way we look at Scripture is different. The way we attend things is differently. Doesn't mean it's any better. It just means it's just different. And sometimes people get upset because you look at it differently than they do. Yes, I'm really passionate. My wife will tell you that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am. I'm passionate for the church. I'm passionate for Jesus. I'm passionate for His call. And when He called me and I took time to examine the Scriptures, and during that whole time, actually from the time I left Illinois until I came to be a believer, it was, I think, from August, September, in October the 18th of 1987, I became a believer in Messiah. But I did not do it lightly. And is actually the interesting thing is the day I got saved, that night when I drove from Las Cruces, which is where I gave my heart to the Lord, back to Phoenix, it's a 6-hour drive. And the thing was is that when I got home that night, I laid down in bed. As I was going off to sleep, I got attacked by a demon that first night. And without even having any training, I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, and it left. So the reality of how we see ourselves is how Jesus sees us. We need and understand that God has brought us for a purpose. My purpose is to witness to the Jewish people. It could be your purpose. Somebody that's listening right now could be that you're called to another group, could be called to an Asian group. You could be called to Chinese or to Koreans, or you could be called to some particular people group. On Monday nights, Carol and I go to Helia Nursing Home, and she plays music to the elderly. I mean, it really ministers to them. So everybody has different callings. We need to be listening to hear what God has to say and to lead us in that. Once I became a believer, I really shocked my family. It was not fun, and I knew it wasn't going to be fun, but God began to work in me and began to bring me into the direction He wanted me to go. And I knew that I was on the right path because I had so much resistance from everybody around. And when you know you've got resistance, you know you're doing something right.
Now, talk a little about, because we have a wide range of listeners from the skeptic to the senior saint, or some just beginning to entertain the idea that there could be a God and that that God could love him. Was it the scriptures suddenly coming alive, or what was the point where you said, Jesus, I believe you really are the Savior. I believe you died for my sins. What was that progression?
Well, I was always taught that the New Testament was written by Gentiles. And when I would examine the scripture and I realized, you know, it says in third chapter of Romans, it says the oracles of God have been given to the Jews. That means all scripture is inspired by the Jews. It was written by them. I was always taught that it was written by Gentiles. Consequently, when I learned that, I had to really stop and think, well, that can't be. Then if they wrote the scripture, then that means all of this is written by the hand that God has chosen, which is his Jewish people, to bring forth his word to the world. And as I began to examine that, as I began to look at it, as I began to realize that I was a sinful creature, that I was never going to be, you know, Yom Kippur is the highest holy day of the year. In Jewish thought, you are to be washed from your sins that day. The problem is no temple. No sacrifices, no blood, no cleansing. I finally realized you can't get cleansed unless there's any blood. So I was able to finally, I made the leap. I mean, it took me a while. I understood it, and I decided that this was the direction that God really wanted me to go. And that was the direction I went those 27 years ago, and I haven't looked back since. It's been all the way for Jesus and nobody else.
Now, Carol, how was that transition when suddenly, I mean, I'm sure you were praying behind the scenes and, you know, attending services with Jerry or encouraging him to attend services. Did you see a dramatic change, or were you like, thank you, God?
Well, it's a long story, but he became involved with the Jewish fellowships, men's, like in Bible study. He was searching out with them. I mean, the men kind of gathered around him. And by that time, I had gone back to New Mexico, and we weren't together. I was in New Mexico. He was in Arizona. We had to be separated before he really came to Messiah, because God wanted him by himself and not, you know, with me. We were willing to give up each other if the Lord didn't have us to be together. We prayed and fasted and said, Lord, if we're to continue this relationship, let us know, or we're willing to go apart for your glory. And that's what we did.
I would like to speak to this situation to other those who are out there who are wanting to achieve the same goal. We decided we were old enough and we were mature enough to know what we thought God wanted for us. But unless you are willing to give Jesus your number one life and you're going to give everything you got to him, you weren't going to get anywhere you needed to go. And so the apart time, as Carol said, was the time that really defined me, because I had to know and understand who God was. And I had some incredible teachers around me. I mean, God grew me really fast in the faith, and I was hungry to hear the word, to absorb the word, to read the word, and to become, you know, the disciple that God had called me to be. But anybody out there needs to understand, you have to be first for God before you can be anything for anybody else. If you're not, then you're not going to be worthy of what Jesus has called you to do.
Yeah, what's that verse? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you, ministry
right.
opportunities, or, you know, the things that will grant you great peace, or even the things that will maybe enhance your life. I know now you have a real passion and a calling to reach out to the Jewish people. And I'm thinking the preponderance, most all of our listeners are Gentile or those that are following the Lord Jesus Christ. What would be maybe something that you would encourage the listener if they work with a Jewish person or Jewish neighbor down the street? What would be a way of reaching out or loving on them, or a recommendation you would have for the listener?
Well, the biggest thing is first get to know them. as an individual. The lady that loved on me first got to know me as, you know, as who I was, as Jerry Cohen, you know. And once she began, and she began asking me, talking to me, praying for me. You can do spiritual warfare, you know. Mm-hmm. You know what's, you know, and the scripture says what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. So you need to, you can spiritually war for the individual you're witnessing to, and you're pouring into the life and ask questions, Old Testament questions. You can preach the gospel from the Old Testament. You know, Isaiah 53. I don't know if any of those who are listening understand. Isaiah 53 has been taken out of most Jewish Bibles. It's not even there because the rabbis don't know how to answer the question. The amount of information that's necessary to talk to most Jewish people is not great because most of them are not religious. You got 10% out of all of them that are religious. The 90%, they were just like me. They were nominal, going along in life, not figuring out what they needed to know other than they just out pursuing life, trying to make a living and raise a family.
So, Jerry, you're growing in your faith. You're seeing God answering prayer. The scriptures are coming alive.
Right.
You're looking at the scriptures, though, with a Jewish mindset, if you will. And so there are those unique idioms or things that you would have been more familiar with because of Yom Kippur, the Jewish traditions that you grew up in.
Right.
So are you, like, now reevaluating all of the scriptures, the New Testament, the Old Testament, thinking, wow, Jesus was here and here, and now I can see that even clearer?
Yes, I mean, I continue every day as I read the scriptures to look and to find ways to be able to define the scripture in a way that makes it more relevant and that defines the way that it is in a Jewish sense. But I'm not looking for ways to distort it. I want people to understand that if we understand the context in which it was given to us, I mean, just like that, we went to that Bible study that Jason did, you know, on he's talking about the idioms, the Jewish idioms. He was talking about things, how the Jews understand it, how they interpret it. It's because our mindset is different. We have an Eastern mindset. You can't understand, you can't get the New Testament without knowing the Old.
Right.
Because the Old is the New revealed, and the New is the Old concealed. So without those situations and that information in your heart and your mind to know to interpret them, you're not going to be able to fully be able to accept and understand how you can witness to somebody about their faith. Because once, you will never be more Jewish until the moment somebody, a Christian, comes up to you and says, "Would you like to know about Jesus?"
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden your world changes because you become defensive, because for 2,000 years the rabbis have been telling you need to be defensive, because all they're trying to do is taint your mind that Jesus was a prophet, but he was not. Mm-hmm. He was not Mashiach. He was not Messiah. But once you become a believer and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you receive all the gifts that God has with you, and you watch God work in your life, then you know that God is real.
Yeah.
That he is not just, you know, he's not just some words written on a page. That this word is alive, is quicker than a two-edged sword, separating soul from spirit, giving you the ability to do whatever he asks you to do, because he's called you to do it, because he wants you to be who he's called you to be. But you have to be faithful, you have to be diligent, doing the things he's called you to do. Stay constant, always, and vigil, be vigil about what he is putting in your heart to do for him and his kingdom.
And he's a God that answers prayer. And
yes,
I know you've been going through some health issues, if you will, and you've been seeing him provide not only peace of mind, but healing and miraculous healing. Tell us a little about where he has you today.
A year ago, it's actually going to be a year on Friday, I woke up in the morning and I discovered that I couldn't go to the bathroom. And so I went to the doctor, and I said, "Okay, I got a problem." And they said, "Okay." So they put me on some medicine, and then I was at the Francis Health, you know, clinic. And then about after 30 days of taking the medicine, it cleared up the inflammation. But they gave me a referral to a doctor at Carl, a urologist. I went in, and he tested me, and he said, "You've got a couple of lumps on your prostate gland." And at that point, my life changed dramatically, because, you know, you don't know what your how much you have in life until you rubber meets the road and you decide whether you're going to live or die. And it was a very big turning point in our lives, wasn't it, Carol?
Well, yes and no, because one thing about my husband is that he has a heart for God. And if the Lord says through people that he's healing him, then Jerry believes that. And the cancer word doesn't seem to be scary to Jerry. Oh, that's a nice poem. I mean, yeah, it's a turning point, honey, but I just watched your walk with the Lord and trusting him and relying and believing him that he will heal you. And yeah, I freak out sometimes thinking, oh, my, he's got cancer eating at his body. But I trust the Lord in whatever the outcome is. I believe the Lord will heal him, yes.
Well, the big thing is that the Lord, early on in the process here, I did some natural things. I did a colon cleanse, and I did it for about 40 days. At the beginning of the cleanse, the Lord spoke to me and said the number 40 was going to be significant. And through the whole process, God began. He actually delivered me from that 64 years of rejection from my mother. And beyond that, he began to speak to me. And on October the 15th, the Lord spoke to me out of Acts chapter 3, verse 6. He said, "Silver and gold have I not, but what I give to you, I give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Arise and walk." That was a healing scripture to the beggar at the gates, at the beautiful gates. Mm-hmm. And so I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, if this is real, this is you, I want you to confirm it. I went to church that next week, that weekend, the Lord confirmed it with somebody else and two other people. Mm-hmm. And so consequently, God had affirmed it. And then about on November the 2nd, I had a gentleman pray over me, named James Fox, and he prophesied the Lord was going to heal me and catapult me into this ministry that he had been talking to me about for years.
Mm. Well, I'll ask our Great News Radio family to continue to think of you in prayer as you want to reach out to, I think, the students at the University of Illinois, the Jewish students in
right.
the days ahead, and to find that perfect niche for you and Carol to minister together. And we appreciate your marriage of 26 years and your lovely three daughters and just how he's going to work in and through you in the days ahead. And if you missed today or yesterday's program, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. In the studio with me these past 2 days have been Jerry and Carol Cohen. They live in the Savoy area and active as Great News Radio listeners at some of our events. And who knows, maybe one of these days we'll get you on one of those trips to Israel with us. So
it's
been great having you, Jerry. Thanks, Carol, for spending some time here
Thank
in the
you,
studio.
Mark. Thank you.
It's been
Mark.
A pleasure.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.